Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, my guest is Dolly Josette, the Pleasure Muse, and she joins me as we help you navigate your sex and relationship questions. Topics include what you didn't know about your penis, what to do when the spark has gone out, what your emotional fear is telling you, and how to finally have that nipplegasm. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. You can check out all of our podcasts. You can easily subscribe to the podcast, the newsletter, and everything at sexwithemily.com. And I love when you review the show, you guys. It's awesome. You could review us on iTunes. And I know it takes some time to do it, but we appreciate it and definitely helps the show. And now, you guys, you can find the podcast on iHeartRadio. On their app or their website, which is very exciting because I love all the platforms now. You can find us on Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. You can follow us on social media. It's all at Sex with Emily, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. I love hearing from you. I'm excited for today's show. And before we get to my amazing guest, I got to tell you guys about an amazing gift. This is so cool, you guys. I realized I hadn't talked about this to you guys enough. We have a new box out, Emily's Box. It's Sex with Emily's Box, okay? And it's a subscription box that you can get quarterly. It's a really cool box that has all these sexy surprises in it. And so it is a great gift, but it's also a great gift for you and your partner because every few months you get a special box and it has all these like toys and accessories and lubes and like things you could lick off each other, like body paints. It's so fun and has like information about how to use things. And so think about it. You guys are always saying to me like, how do we spice things up? How do we keep things interesting? Guess what? Every quarter, you're going to get a box. And that's in that box. You're going to be like, okay, yeah, tonight it's on. Or this week, it's something new. It's something interesting. And again, a great gift, wedding, anniversary, shower gift, bridal shower, or just for yourself, you guys. Remember, sex with someone you love, right? What masturbation is, solo time, we all love that. And then this month is called Better Than Basic. It's sexwithemily.com/subscription box. And I'm telling you guys, you're gonna love the box. So tell me what you think of it. Also, one more thing. Okay, you guys were amazing because we did a huge Kickstarter campaign last year for UV, which is the cleaning system. It stores, cleans, and sanitizes your sex toys, right? I heard about it and I thought, yes, sign me up. I will support you because two of the biggest bummers when it comes to using your toys, as you know, is when they are not charged, or worse, that you can't even find the charger because you lost it, and they're not clean. because when they're not clean, you guys, you can get, you know, it's just not great. You know, we just, and sometimes after we masturbate, we get lazy, we put it away in our drawer, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to clean it and charge it, right? So I finally got my UV because you guys helped make it happen. And okay, so here's my story. I was going on vacation. What usually happens is, like, the last minute thing is like, charge my laptop, find my sex toys, find the chargers, all that stuff. And then usually I end up like going on my trip and I don't have my toys because they're not charged and they're not used, they're not cleaned and all this stuff, and they're never in one place. But now, you guys, the UV is unbelievable. It's better than I could have even dreamed. Like, I opened the box and I was like, oh my God, there's all my toys laid out and charged and ready to go. Just thinking ahead for me. It's already done. And you can always use it. Of course, it's great during sex, you guys, because you don't have to like open up the drawer and like, where's all my toys and why isn't this one charged? Because really the worst sex I ever had was when I was about to like have an orgasm and my toy died. Like, that is the biggest bummer ever. So they've got two systems. They got the UV Go that you can actually take on the road, the UV Play. I keep it by my bed. It's like a beautiful box with a lock on it so no one can get into it. And everything is sanitized, charged, and ready to go. So check it out at uvclean.com. It is the perfect complement for your sex toy collection. And you guys are going to love it. Let me know what you think. I'm really excited for my guest, Dolly Josette, the pleasure muse. And I know Dolly because we took the Somatica training in San Francisco last year. And I know I've talked about that on the show, and I've had some other people that I studied with on the show. And Dolly's got a great perspective because we met there, but she's also a sexological body worker. And she's now called the pleasure muse, is her new business that she's launched. She's going to tell us all about that. I love Dolly. I love everything that she's about. And I think that today's conversation is really going to change the way you think about your own sex life and your relationship to your body. And there's a lot here, Dolly. I'm so glad you're going to be here today to share all this great stuff you're doing. So talk to us about the pleasure muse.
Well, the pleasure muse, and thinking about how to launch the business, it's like all things pleasurable in our body. And if we listen to our bodies, like, really amazing things can happen, because we're kind of walking around like bobbleheads overthinking things, and our bodies are really wise. And so it's like, what makes you feel good, and lean into that. The other thing is, people sometimes want to put pleasure as a last, you know, priority. Even look it up in the dictionary. It's like extracurricular. It's like,
right.
And it's like, but when we're babies, it's like you want to make the baby laugh and smile, and you tickle and you love and you kiss, and it's like, they respond to pleasure. Like, so we're made for pleasure.
Right.
And we forget about it.
You're so wired for pleasure. And then we, like, we all want to have sex and have pleasure, and we don't know how the hell to keep doing it and to keep it good and to keep it strong.
Yeah. If the pilot light goes dim, it's like how to reignite it. So as the muse, always looking to see what are your best attributes and what your goals are with my clients or people in seminars, and how to really start to help them turn the pilot light on.
Let's talk about your story, about how you got started into this whole world. A little bit about where you came from, who you are.
Well, I think I'll give you a little bit of the short version today. Is that okay?
Perfect, yeah. Because then we got to get into sexological body work, because I really want you to explain it. There's a lot to talk about.
Well, when I married my second husband, and I never expected not to be a biological mother. And then I just came up with all these health issues. I was also in my late 30s, early 40s. And I think when it came down to having the last miscarriage, and somebody had talked to me about sexological body work, and I just said, you know, Jason, if we're not going to use sex for procreation, what else is there to learn about it? Like, we have the rest of our lives, and we were so fortunate because we had a great, you know, sexual relationship, great all around relationship. But I was like, there has to be more. Like, we have so fulfilled, but what else is there? There's all these teachers, there's all this stuff. If I do it professionally, maybe. But for now, let's just, you and I have fun with the homework. And it just kind of, and he's so supportive and just always about, yeah, if you want to learn this, go for it.
So what was the first thing that you learned when you brought home homework? Can you remember? It was sexological body work. That was the first training?
Yeah. I did training out in the UK with some great teachers of mine, Deja Numa, who are based in Australia. And Joseph Kramer is the man who started and made this a legitimate, you know, profession. And he did all this pioneer work in the 70s to get it to have the curriculum that we have now. But the first thing was about mindful masturbation, or what he calls orgasmic yoga practice. It's about embodiment, like being in your body, starting to know what feels good to you. Because how can you ask for what you want from somebody else if you don't actually know what your body wants. So I like to equate it that, you know, we all have our go-to, especially when it comes to masturbation, right? We all have our go-to. We know like how to snap the finger and have a little quickie or whatever our go-to is. Our toys, the porn, fantasy, whatever it is. And this actually starts to teach you how to play your body a little bit more like an instrument, that we have multiple chords to play, not just one thing. And taking the time. It's a little bit of the hardest thing for people who are in this fast pace. But when you get in your body and you sink in, oh my God, I just started showing up differently. I just started showing up. My feminine energy just started popping out. I just started connecting with my husband in a way more sensual way. Everything just responded because I took the time to get more connected with myself.
Right. I talk a lot about, everything you're saying, you know, you got to slow down and make time for it's funny. I didn't know. I thought that not that I made it up, but I did do it. Gave it Wanderlust. I was like, mindful masturbation. I want to teach you about mind. I'm going to use that word. And I didn't know that was like a thing before. I always say to people, like, take the time to figure it out. We have so many erogenous zones, but you actually did this for the training. And I love this. So what I want to get into here is that, because I'm always telling people that, and there is so much more, people don't realize there's no roadmap. Like, I tell you guys what's possible. I say, like, we know these two erogenous zones, right? Or we know our genitals, like, we know our breasts, we know our penis, vagina. But what else? And I explain it, but you really have gone there and gone to these levels. So when you say that you slowed down, mindfully masturbated, and did homework with your husband, can you give an example of, like, maybe something that you did or what you learned that wasn't there before?
Well, taking a break and not making wrong our go-tos, never taking that off the menu. It's totally there as a choice.
It's fine to knock one out.
It's totally, yeah. It's like,
we're not saying you're never going to knock one out again.
No, like, keep it on the menu. Like, choose it. Fast food, sometimes you need it. But this was just like slowing down, how to use more breath, how to use more movement, how to use lights, how to use sound. How do you feel before a bath, after a bath? How do you maybe tease yourself and look in a mirror and touch yourself over clothes? I mean, one time I did that. I can get really like...
Yeah, totally. Say whatever you want here.
So I did that.
And your voice is really sexy. So,
oh, you just gave me goosebumps. Yeah. I love that. So touching just over the shirt.
She's touching herself now.
I am. Can we do so tight.
She's so hot too. You guys should check out her.
And this is when I discovered like how absolutely sensitive my nipples were. And instead of going down and reaching for the goodies and in between the legs, I just kept staying there and playing. And then I tried under the shirt. I was like, no, I really like the material of the shirt today. Right. And I just kept going there and touching. And then look, I'm like getting goosebumps now.
Yeah.
Because when you create new erogenous zones, then your body gets memory. And that's what somatic. So I'm a certified somatic sexological body worker. Somatic means like of your body. Your body has memory. So I created this whole pathway and I had this crazy like nipplegasm. But my shirt was covering my nipples. It was amazing.
Okay. And you've never had a nipplegasm before.
I'm
obsessed with nipplegasms.
And when you, and people find them differently. Right. And that's how I found
mine. Well, I have still looking.
How did you?
I had like half one. No, but really, I say like it's so possible. It's really common for women. It's the same receptors in our brain, our clitoris, and our nipples that give you orgasms, the sensations. And so you did it.
Totally.
Did it one time, or was it? I mean, was it the first time you tried, or was it a few times of touching yourself?
I mean, sometimes you get in your head, and you're just like, you know, you're moving through things, and you get distracted. But it's just really trying to find that time. But that one time, I went for it with the nipplegasm. I didn't even know I was going to discover this, and I did. And then from there, I brought that into like, honey, let's try some other things.
So was he there during the nipplegasm? This was during your self?
No.
This is like, my own time. Let me just try. Yeah. Like, you truly did what I want everyone. And what I've done to in my masturbation, how I've gone deeper, and how I tell my listeners and everybody that will listen that really it will take some time. I know it's like we don't have enough, but it probably didn't take you. Maybe it's an extra 15 minutes or whatever it is. But you all these time of having sex in your late 30s, you're like, wow. That feels good. You did not know. You were not a virgin.
It
wasn't like no one had touched your breast before. But because you took the time, you were able to experience it.
Yeah.
I love this story.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, and that's why Joseph Kramer, he calls it in sexological bodywork orgasmic yoga practice, thinking it's like a practice. Like there's no right or wrong. And to have that self-discovery, how people do like in a yoga class, right? Like maybe I bend, you know, I can reach my toes today, but the next day I can't really reach my toes. But one time I took it literal. I'm like, does he mean yoga? Maybe I should try and do yoga moves while I'm masturbating.
And let me tell you, I tried.
It wasn't great.
You know, I found some nice positions, like the pigeon position, and then the foot of my heel, or the heel of my foot.
In your vulva or something?
It found right in between my legs. It was pretty awesome.
I love the bit. That's good for your, and your pelvic floor stretching there, too.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's a really good one.
But you know, you said something earlier about we don't have roadmaps, and you know what the roadmap is? It's our body. And we don't take the time to discover where these zones are or to create new pathways. So like everybody talks, it's the clit. Well, did you know that the clit is just the beginning? There's actually clitoral legs that come around the clit like a wishbone. And if you learn, and we all the stuff with my certification and the work that I do with people, because I'm As a sexological body worker, I'm allowed to touch the pelvic floor.
Explain what that is in a minute. Yeah,
I will. If I can touch, I can touch the body as I need to for healing or helping people find their new pleasure pathways for
you
themselves,
can help them find
for their partners, teach their partners. It's really amazing. But if you go on your outer labial and you just kind of do a little rolling, and you're like, wow, what is that? Those are your clitoral legs, ladies. And if you get in the practice or your partner starts to do the foreplay and you just start on the outside, you can just have mind-blowing orgasm.
It's true. Yeah.
Because it opens up a whole new part. And it's not just about that really intense sensitivity of the clitoris, the clitoral head. You know?
Right.
And when I did that, and I continued to do that with my orgasmic yoga practice and then doing a lot of other homework with Jason, we then discovered a new orgasm for me when penetration happened, that right at the base of the clitoral legs, it was like, whoa.
And you've never had that?
No, because I never even knew. I mean, your OBGYN doesn't teach you about your clitoral legs.
They don't teach you anything.
No. Who even knew we had a wishbone?
No, I know. Well, we know because we said it, but I didn't know until I studied it, until I saw like the map. And you know what's so funny? You reminded me that. So I love toys, as you know, and Wevi makes this. They were the first. They came out with this new one this year called the Wish, and it's for all the external clitoral, your external internal clitoral nerves, and it's called the Wish. And I never thought about it because we always say it looks like a wishbone, and I didn't think that's why that happened.
Oh.
Because it is an amazing sponge, this toy that you put on the outside. Because I've discovered, and through this work, I've discovered that area as well. But it just, this light bulb went off. That's why.
It is. Anyway, and let me tell you, you want to make a wish.
You do. No, it's amazing. And this is what, like, you're right. And this is something that's really, when we talk about sex education, all that, our OBGYN doesn't tell us. Our parents barely name it what it's even called. They don't use the right term.
No.
They don't say, like, hoo-hoo, whatever. You know, they're not even saying vagina. So no, we don't know about the legs at all. Let's talk about sexological body work, because I think it's incredible, the work that you do. I think that it can be so helpful for people. And it's incredible. And it's also, like, I think can be shocking and confusing. And people be like, what? So can you explain what it is exactly?
Well, what it is.
Dolly.
Yeah.
My pleasure, muse. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
That's right. What it is people sometimes, you know, have ruts and they have some real serious issues. There can be premature ejaculation. There can be women who've never felt orgasm. There can be some healing that needs to happen after having a baby, menopausal years.
So every person's going to eventually have some kind of sexual challenge, I would say, not just, I would say almost everybody.
Men and women. And so sometimes being able to figure out where the stagnation is and to be able to do some healing is amazing. But you don't even have to come to me if there's healing stuff. It might just be that you want to learn these new pathways or how to create the pathways or how to be more embodied. Because it sounds super cliche, but until you can like be your own best lover and know how your body works, you can't really ask your partner to do things, you know? So this is just the ability. It's one-way touch. So if I do work on a person's body, I have gloves on. I'm not bringing erotic energy with them. It's about them feeling safe, that this is absolutely about their healing and discovery. I'm never telling them what they're feeling. Always checking in. What are you feeling in your body? Do you feel challenged here? Do you feel pleasure potential? Do you feel numbness? Oh my God, that's a huge thing.
I was going to talk about women in pain, right?
Women can be in pain, but sometimes they don't feel anything. And sometimes too much of one style of sex can just create disconnection and numbness with your body. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest, like one of the biggest things that I'm seeing with clients. A lot of times too, there's a time and a place for everything, but a lot like of my 30 something guys, if they watch too much porn, they're like, I'm not feeling a lot down here anymore because they're just touching themselves in the same way over and over again. And they're not moving this orgasmic energy throughout their whole body.
Right.
And then they're saying, I'm not enjoying sex with women. Like, it's not feeling good to me anymore.
This
and
is
I
what
just,
we're hearing. This is...
Are you hearing the same thing?
Oh, yeah. All the time. I mean, I think that guys, they don't really know what it is. They wouldn't even be able to name it. Because they also, a lot of these guys have been... That's all they've been doing is masturbating to porn their whole life. So they think that's how it's supposed to feel. And they don't even know that they're not feeling until they get to the point maybe where they're coming to you and they can actually have sex with someone. So, Dolly, you just talked about two really important things. You talked about women feeling numb and men feeling numb. So let's talk about the numbness that women are feeling. Like they're doing the same position over and over again. They're masturbating the same way. They're getting pounded during sex or using a vibrator the same way or whatever it is. It's numb and or pain.
Well, because people just think sex and orgasm has to happen one way, you know, penis and vagina, the same position or the clitoris, you know, climax or the same position with their a toy or a hand. Sometimes they just stop feeling so much because it's just the same area or their imagination goes away or their eroticism goes away. They just kind of get numbed out, like it doesn't turn them on anymore. If your turn on is gone and it's just like the same old thing, it's like you order the same food at a restaurant all of the time. But we are creatures of habit, right? You go to the restaurant, you're like, oh, I'm going to that restaurant. I know exactly what I'm going to order. And it's the same thing with sex. Again, no judgment. You have your favorite comfort food, but there are other things to explore.
Right.
And when you can honestly say, what is my body feeling? And this is what happens with women, is they sometimes just tolerate. They're so happy to have this connection. They're so, you know, men too. Men are so happy that they get, you know, access to this, you know, beautiful body. And they're you know, pairing up. But nobody wants to say that doesn't work so well. Or can we try something else? Or somebody might say, well, it's not good enough. Or we don't know. So we don't know how to have those conversations about how to ask for what you want.
Right.
So other studies that I did within sexological bodywork, there's a woman, she's amazing, called Betty Martin. She talks about consent, giving and touching, and like really understanding boundaries and knowing how to ask for what you want. Celeste and Danielle, who are our teachers from Somatica, how to like get into your body and be able to ask for things in a sexy way and seduce and really feel. But it all comes back to your body being the roadmap, asking your body, does this feel good? Or am I just kind of going there because it's what we're supposed to do?
Right.
Taking the time out and saying, I want to try something else.
Right. And even if we are eating the same foods every day, for example, we know that there's other restaurants to go to. We know it. We don't go maybe one day. We're like, okay, today I'm going to go somewhere else. But with sex, this is what we're saying. And then the show, this is why I'm having you here and we talk about these things. There's so many options and there's so much potential. And I just don't want, you know, life is too short, I think, to live our unlimited sexual potential. I just think there's so much more. And so I love that you are explaining this. So what would be a first exercise? Like, I know we talk about this a lot in Somatica too, but if someone, you know, listening to this and they're thinking, yeah, that sounds familiar, I'm kind of been numbing, or, you know, what would be something to get people more in their body? And then we have to go back to men and porn, because I know all my male listeners are like, go back to that. Yeah. Don't worry, I will.
Well, we'll definitely get back to that. That can be really juicy and a little bit, you know,
country. Well, just because I think it's confusing. Yeah.
Yeah, but confusing. So getting in the body, everybody, just the deep breath. Like, we take breath for granted. It is so free. We can totally get high on breath, right? Take a breath with me, right? And it's sexy, breathing deep. And then just really letting that breath settle in all the way down your pelvic floor and just really start to kind of connect. So almost like if you need to go to the bathroom, I know you talk about Kegels and stuff. Mm-hmm. They know. So you just kind of squeeze kind of that Kegel motion. And then I like to always just kind of move my hips around in circles. And guys, you know, you can just put your hands over your goods and like squeeze and grab your legs. Women, men, just start to kind of feel, like, take a moment just to connect and right. to tune into your body. And that's just raising the pilot light and then saying, okay, what does my body want? What does it need? And then just starting to listen to it, because our right. bodies really tell us, and we ignore them.
We have all the information.
Them.
We do.
We ignore our bodies. How many times do we eat something that we know is going to make us feel bad and exactly. we still eat it?
So much, but all the time. We do this, right? But with sex, like, I think that a lot of the challenges, and you're going to help me answer some emails soon, but I think a lot of our challenges are that we're in our head so much about sex and that we're not in our body. And a lot of illness comes that way, mental illness and physical illness mm-hmm. and sexual challenges, because we're not in our body. And that's why I did the Somatica training too, because it's like, and you know that I'm still, Dolly and I are friends, we hang out, she's like, get in your body now, I'm going to ground you. Like, she came here, we did some stretching before this. Do I seem very calm right now? For me, I probably do, because, and then Dolly did a lap dance for me. So men, a lot of guys, you're right, I mean, it is interesting, because porn, obviously a huge topic of conversation, just wherever I go in the news, and people like to say, well, you know, porn is not responsible for a lot of these things. I think that they want to say men have always been masturbating to porn, but now I do think it is a different time now, and there are a lot of men who are feeling this numbness. So when they're coming to you, and are they saying, like, literally they're having orgasms but they don't feel good? Or when they're with a woman, they don't feel anything? Like, what don't they feel if they're having the orgasm?
They feel that it's rote. They feel that there's no excitement about it, that it's just kind of the one-two, go-to type of thing. Listen, porn serves a purpose, and it can absolutely create, you know, the juices flowing and the images are really strong, but it gives these mixed messages that just getting right to it is how it's done. And there's not a lot of embodiment there. It's just right about, you know, penetration, right? And so what happens is, if you take the time to start to know your body and the men and this, you know, this longer kind of, you know, mindful masturbation, what happens is you start to connect with the body and maybe your fantasies a little bit more. And like two of my clients last week, they both came in and said, I'm actually not watching porn as much this last 2 weeks since I saw you. And since I'm doing my homework, and I'm feeling more feelings in my body, and it's not just about that. Like, I'm not craving it.
That's great.
I know
that's...
I can go there. And I tell people sometimes, find the porn that you like, because it's important to know what turns people on.
Exactly.
I don't want to bash it. There's a time and a place for it. But because it's so available, I do find some of the folks in the 20s and 30s, mm-hmm. they're having a little harder time communicating their desires and needs.
Right. With their partners.
Yeah.
And with themselves.
Yeah.
We talked about the clitoral legs, which I think that a lot of women, I've talked about it on the show, but again, like, that's one area that women might not know about their vulva, their vagina. What do you think that men, what's one thing that you think men don't know about their penis that they should know about? One area, one thing.
Mm.
Or two.
I know. There's
it's hard to choose.
No, I know, right? I know this is going to sound crazy, but enjoy the sensation that the penis feels before it becomes erect. There is, like, some really nice things that a man can feel, because there's so much pressure on a man to have a hard cock.
Right? All the time, right.
And I feel bad for men, and that's, you know, something else that some of the clients of mine have been saying, like, this performance anxiety. And there's that performance anxiety because of how things are supposed to look and how things are supposed to go down because of this, you know, kind of porn culture we're living right. in. So if you just take a little break from that, just say, well, what is my body feeling like? And can I have fun? And sometimes some of the orgasmic yoga practice doesn't even have to be about ejaculation. It right. can be about just moving that energy and feeling things when they're not always erect.
Right.
And then pulling a little bit at, you know, the skin, at the, you know, just around the testicles and...
There's seeing what that feels like, paying attention yes. to what it feels like. They like literally, because yeah. It's true. Because I used to think, well, men know their penises. They're always touching their penises. But no, they know it one way. They, like, I always think, could a man pick his penis out of a lineup? And, you know, I'm not sure that he could. I used to think that, of course, they could. Women, we know, they don't often look at their vaginas. They're like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. So everyone go play with your flaccid penis right now. It'd be fun.
Does that not sound?
It sounds really sexy. But no. But it's true. And that's one thing that I did. I learned a lot doing our somatic training about being in our body and all that. But one of the intellectual things I learned, and that I guess I've known this on the show because I get all the emails and I talk to my listeners. But I guess I felt a different level of compassion for men because there is so much pressure on men to be sexually ready, to be the providers, to know what we want. We assume that they're going to take care of everything and they're going to know everything and making the moves and taking care of the woman and taking care of their partners. And it's just like, we talked a lot about that. And I just feel like, oh my God, I feel my heart going, initiating sex and being in charge and being the breadwinner. Not, I'm saying, I know we're living in 2017 and things are different, but there is some of this basic stuff that men just always, you know, in a primal way have that pressure. And I feel a lot, I'm sending a lot of love.
A lot of love. They need it. They need to have the compassion and they need to have the tenderness too.
Right. Well, yeah. Dolly, if people want to see you, but they can, like, how can we find you?
PleasureMuse.com.
Okay.
So lots of information, lots of ways that I can work with couples, with men, with women, in both of the modalities as a somatica practitioner, as a sexological body worker. Just about getting in, you know, getting in your body, really working with, especially couples are just like amazing. They've really been blowing me away lately with what they want to learn because they're just like, we want to be together and we want to learn more.
Yeah. Tell me. So, okay, real quick, is it all in person? Because you're in California. Do you Skype as well?
I also do Skype. Yes. Okay. And I do have some upcoming seminars that I'll talk to you a little bit more about.
Yeah, I'll promote it for you. I'll put it on my website. And this will all be on my website so you can find Dolly.
Yeah, but we can do Skype sessions and in person when you're in LA.
So tell me about but before we get into the emails, I want to hear about the couples. I know you have some stories we were talking about, but how would you work? They come together and they say, we love each other. We've been together 20 years or whatever. We love each other, but our sex is We want to spice it up, which is like probably a lot of the emails we get, questions.
Depending on their level of comfort of talking with each other and their honesty, it's always one of the hardest things for couples to talk about and be really honest about are what their fantasies are. Because sometimes somebody will hear a fantasy and then the other partner will be like, what? Does that mean I'm not good enough? And this is an idea of, you know, things don't, you're not always have to have the fantasies come true, but being able to be comfortable in your body to be able to help, you know, your partner fulfill a fantasy.
That's just so important.
It's so important.
They're so afraid they're going to be judged and there's going to be shame. And
that's the thing, the shame around what people really want to express or feel. And this is your partner. This is the person that we're meant to like be able to say everything with. And sometimes there's a lot of sadness when I see couples really just holding it together and trying to be this picture perfect wife or husband, then they don't want to like show this other side. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, depending, I might have to actually have separate sessions with them so that they can be able to talk to me about what's going on. There is no judgment. You cannot tell me anything that I will judge.
True. It is true. Same. We're not judgmental. There's no one right way to have sex and have fantasies. So we just help you accept that.
Really having a safe space and just real tenderness for everything that you're going through. There's no judgment. Like, we totally honor what you're going through. People, you know, you, people in this work, me, and then bringing the couples together to explore different things with, you know, how to seduce each other. And or if we do body work sessions, sometimes I'm teaching the men how to do different things with the woman and vice versa. It's like amazing.
It's hot. That's amazing. I love it, Dolly. Thank you. This is so fun. Okay, you're going to stay with me. Yes. Help the listeners.
I love it.
I love you all. I love you, Dolly. Thank you. And thanks everyone for listening. And thank you for supporting our sponsors. You know that I don't ever talk about any products or services that I've not used myself and that I don't love and recommend to you all. So thanks for supporting them. And we'll be right back. Okay, everyone, thank you for sending in your emails and your questions. I love hearing from you. And if you have a question you want me to answer on the show, here's how you do it. You can text me your question, and all you do is text Ask Emily one word to 797979. That's Ask Emily. And now I thought I should explain this because I think maybe it's a little confusing. So what happens is, here's the user experience. So you pick up your phone and you type in 797979 and then Ask Emily one word. And then what happens is you immediately get a link, and that link is a form. And in that form, all you do is ask your question and you fill it out just like you would when you go to the website, which is the second option. You go to sexwithemily.com and you click on the Ask Emily tab and you fill out the form and ask your question there. So that's what the text is all about. Because some people have been like emailing me and asking me about it, and it's super easy. So you're on your phone all the time. I figured, why not make it easier for you? And if you want to be called, because, you know, we do call shows, you can, when you're submitting your question, whether it's through text or the website, there'll be a little box that says, would you like to be called? And then we will call you and chat with you. Sally, you'll have to come back. People call in and we love talking to our listeners. Mm, it's super fun. As always, please include your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. And we can't wait to hear from you. All right. Hi, Emily. My boyfriend and I have been together for about a year and a half, and our sex life is already getting a bit bleak. I really love him and we have a great relationship, but our sex life just doesn't have that spark. Recently, he came home from work and walked in on me masturbating. The thing that bothers me is he didn't seem to care. He just made food and sat down in front of the TV. This made me realize that I'm bored and I do wait for him to initiate sex, mainly because I've tried to initiate it and I've been shut down by him. I get embarrassed, resort to masturbating, and I play it off like everything is okay. I know he masturbates too, as I see porn on his computer, hear him in the shower, and I see him looking at and liking attractive women's photos on social media. It's starting to affect my self-confidence. I am a sexual person, and this is something we've been struggling with for a while. Where do I even start? How do I broach the discussion and get us back on track? I really want to save our sex life. Amy, 24, Toronto. Dolly's eyes are big as saucers. So I know there's a lot here, right, Dolly? Yeah. So Amy, thank you so much for your email. And so I want to say I'm glad that you reached out on this, because it sounds to me like there's a lot going on here. So you're both like masturbating, taking care of yourself. And I get that. But I feel like what's going on here is the initiation part, is that you're waiting for him to initiate because you have felt rejected and you felt that he shot you down, and that's affected your self-confidence. And so then you start to pull away. We don't even realize this is happening a lot of times in relationships. So while I can give you, you know, we'll both get into like, there's a lot of different things that you could do here. Just realize that it's now become about this rejection you're feeling. And then knowing that he's liking attractive women, because you're probably, you know, we all do this a little bit of stalking. Who's he like? What's going on? You're like, oh, she's more attractive than I am. And he's watching porn. And so it's just doing this 1-2 punch on you. Your self-confidence is shrinking, and you're feeling like, you know, what do I do? My partner doesn't, you know, he's not into me anymore. And so understand that what you're going through also is really common, and we're going to, you know, help you get through this. And so I understand that you want to broach the discussion with him, and I'm assuming that maybe you haven't talked about it yet. It looks like you haven't, because talking about sex is really, really hard, which is why I'm here and Dolly's here to help you figure out. The first thing to say is it's getting comfortable talking about your sex life. And so I think the first thing would be to just say to him, babe, you know, I love you. I love that we're together. I'm loving the sex that we're having. Like I always talk about, when we start positive, it's not like, you never initiate sex, and I see you liking all these hot girls' photos, and I don't feel loved, and I feel like I'm not attracted to you, because he's never going to hear what you're saying beyond that. So really, it's starting from when you're both like in a calm space, not in the bedroom, not when you're out drinking too much, or, you know, other things are happening and it just pops out of your mouth, because that's what happens sometimes when we're really frustrated. It could start with a fight. So I think it's really when you're in a calmer place and you wanted to say to him, you know, I love you and our relationship, and we really need to, you know, I want to get to a good place with us where we're, you know, having sex and we're both, you know, initiating and feeling good. And I think that it's, you know, I think a great place to start the couples is often I say, like, is there something like with our sex life that you see? Is there some kind of fantasy you have or something that you've been wanting to try? I talk about that a lot on the show, of different tactics of like, you know, your bucket list and what your turn-ons. But I mean, Dolly, what would you say? I feel like there's been a lot of tension going on with them too. I mean, I feel like with our somatic and therapy, but they've never, ever talked about it.
Yeah.
24 years old.
I think the thing that was the most sad part about the email, that it hit me like really in my belly, like, oh, it's so sad, is when he came home and she was masturbating and he didn't care and he just went to go make food. like my heart is just really hurting for her in that moment. And so it's one of these things, maybe people, and that's where the conversation needs to happen. Maybe he wanted to, you know, respect her privacy. So we don't know why just maybe he didn't.
Assumptions, right?
So we're making assumptions. So did he just want to respect her privacy and go away? But because he did go away and didn't make a comment, then she's feeling, oh my gosh, I was masturbating. He didn't say anything. This didn't turn him on. I'm not good. Food is more important to him than me. So then she's having this, you know, spiraling thought process going down. But she didn't go speak to him about it right away. So talking about it immediately. Listen, to continue masturbating when you're in a relationship, I think is still healthy.
It's absolutely healthy.
Like, it's there's nothing wrong with that. But starting first to say, does it, could, when you came home, you know, I got my feelings hurt that you didn't make any mention of it. Or to say, oh, honey, I'm going to give you some privacy. Or, honey, would you like me to stay here or do you want privacy? Like giving those choices.
Let him know how it made you feel and that there's some other options, what you would like. Because what would she have liked? In the moment, I'm thinking that when I hear that, Amy, that maybe you would have wanted him to be like, hey, that's really hot, or like, let's have sex right now, or that's such a turn on when I see you masturbating. But instead, you felt rejected and you felt, so to let him know that, I think that to be, but they probably, see, I could start with like, but we've never talked about sex.
Yeah, so I would but start there.
Start with a very specific, because there are a lot of things that have been going on in their relationship. So say to him, you know what? That's great. Like, I feel like when you came in yesterday, I would have liked this.
Yeah.
And you're not, don't blame him. And like, I, you know, just, it made me feel like maybe it was bothering. I couldn't tell how it made you feel. I made up all these stories in my head. So can you tell me what you were feeling in that moment?
Yeah. And he would have said, oh, honey, I was just giving you some privacy.
Right. And then, you know.
But then that's a great launching pad for saying, well, how do you like it when you masturbate? If I come home and find you masturbating, do you want me to watch you and just like get turned on and like let you be? Or do you want me to start integrating myself? Like, what can we say that we can start incorporating our masturbation to like be something that if we happen to come home, like this might happen again.
Mutual masturbation. I always recommend that to couples. I think it's one of the best. It's so hot and it's a great learning tool.
Totally.
Like, and they could do the homework. They could be like, let's figure out what really turned you on. Let's find your legs together. Let's go fishing for your clitoral legs today.
I love it. I love it. But then too, to get into the conversation of not making him wrong about the porn, like, honey, what kind of porn do you like? Will you show me what you like? Can we like go, you know, porn hunting for what I like and just seeing the images and saying if there's something that they can watch together?
Yeah.
And just having like those bridges of like, number one, what are the boundaries? Number two, what do you like? And can you show me what you like visually? I just want to know. Because then it's not shaming him.
If you'll be okay with
him.
That, Amy, right. Because Amy, let's just make sure too that you have to remember that when you ask for this, you might see stuff that you don't like. You might see stuff that kind of, who knows?
Exactly.
But you have to understand that what people are watching in porn is their own personal, you know, preference. It doesn't necessarily mean that what he is looking at is something that he actually wants to happen. We don't know. So you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah.
Non-judgmental and be open.
And maybe you just start with one thing each. Like, can I show you one thing that I might like to look at and you can show me one thing and then you can start building some trust there.
I love this. This is great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dolly. And thank you, Amy. This is a great question. And I love that we said about start with one thing. Not all the whole mountain of things that have been going on, but one thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Good luck, Amy. Hi, Emily. Please help me save my new marriage. My husband and I have only been married a few months and we're already having issues during sex. When my husband and I were just dating, he could last forever, resulting in a battle of who would tap out first. Now that our connection is stronger and we're married, it seems that I could only get a few minutes out of him before he ejaculates and I'm left sexually frustrated. We enjoy all the same things sex-wise, movement, pace, positions, which makes it difficult because everything that makes me orgasm also makes him orgasm. We've tried the sprays, but they make him lose his erection or he comes without feeling that sensation. It seems like no matter what we try, I'm always left unsatisfied. I love my husband, but the disappointment has led me to lose my sex drive. Can you share some advice for what we should do or try? Thank you, Brianna, 24, Ventura, California. Okay, so we hear a lot about guys' premature ejaculation. We were talking about that earlier, and Brianna, I totally get what you're saying here. It really can be a bummer when the sex changes and you're like, wow, things were great. And now he's doing this thing and we don't know how to stop it and we're trying. But here's the good news about premature ejaculation is that a lot of it you know, there's a lot of different theories about it, but mostly it is in his head. He's worried. He's stressed. Maybe it happened once, and so now it happened again. And then they can, then that creates a new pattern, and he keeps, you know, premature ejaculating. He knows that he's letting you down, and then he keeps doing that, and then it becomes this whole thing, and then you're both frustrated, and you don't want sex anymore. So this is like the loop that you're in. But there are several things you can do that I have not seen on here. First of all, make sure that you're not getting frustrated and angry with him, even though it sounds like you really are, and let him know that you guys are both in it together and that you could try to work with him. Again, we were talking about mutual masturbation. This could be a good time to, you know, I tell a lot of men to just practice. I mean, he might do some of this on his own. Dolly works with clients like this, so you can talk about this. But for men, it's really important for them to get into their bodies and understand their ejaculatory control. So whether it's like stop-start method and learning to breathe and learning to on their own, it's those things. She could also help him if he doesn't do the exercises on his own, but learning when he's about to go over and then not allowing himself to and kind of retraining his body again. But I think the good news is that he wasn't like this before. It's kind of a newly onset thing that's happening in the relationship. They can fix this. What would you say, Dolly? I know you work with men on this as well.
I do. It can be in the head for sure. That's like the first part about once you have that pattern that it shows up, it's this fear that it's going to happen. And what you think about, like where you put your focus and energy, sometimes it just comes to pass. So it is that pathway. So
it could be other. I'm not saying it's just the head. There could be other causes. No, but
work,
stress, you
know, tiredness.
Right.
I mean, all kinds of things. So maybe starting off, you know, in a little bit of a slower pace without this like goal to get right to it. I would actually suggest to her to kind of just do like this really nice soft touch on his body, kind of from like kind of seduce him with touch. And then I like to use this term called the pleasure meter. So she starts to go in with her hands and starts to work with him and maybe start to manually stimulate him with her hands. Always looking to see from a scale of 1 to 10, what is your body feeling in terms of pleasure? The sweet spot where the men can keep their erection is when you kind of stay at that 5 and 6. When you're moving to get to that 7 or 8 and the man starts to know what a 7 or 8 feels like in his body, then he's going to go over the cliff and ejaculation is going to happen.
Right.
She can just start off with like just really doing kind of like a seduction technique.
Like just like doing like a tracing her hands over his body.
Yeah.
She gets some ticklers or something or some like.
Yeah.
We sell like all this sports sheet stuff, like give him a sensual massage.
A sensual massage would be great. And starting with your hands without lube first and like touching and feeling and connecting and having him breathe and always saying, how does this feel? On a scale of 1 to 10, tell me, does this feel like a 2? Does it feel, as if he's saying it feels like a 9, it's like, right. Whoa, back the touch off. Move the touch from the penis to like, you know, his knees or his chest and have him take a deep breath in and back off that stimulation and just do like a really sexy thing for him without having that first goal being about, you know, sex between the two of you to bring it down. So if he starts being able to say, oh, that's a 2, okay, then I'm going to bring it up. And then she can start manually stimulating him with some ticklers or maybe bringing in some of their favorite lube. Mm-hmm. And because it's a little
just
bit more
hands,
slippery.
But she also uses her mouth or no, just
with
hands.
Her hands, with her mouth, all of that. And then he's like, whoa, okay, that's feeling like it's a 7. And then redirect her hands. So when they want to get to the place where he's going over the cliff and ejaculation is going to happen, then you can go all the way. But you can actually just have a lot of fun with the sensual massage. All these different toys and techniques where you're at the penis, then away from the penis.
Right.
At the penis, away from
stopping
the penis.
Stopping and start method, but doing it for him. Because a lot of men, I also tell you, you know, on their own, they could do this as well.
Yeah.
Stimulating their penis.
Exactly.
But I like that they do it together because then it becomes both of their, you know, thing to work through. And it's not just he's got to go do the stop-start method, which is what men do this on their own when they're masturbating and they ejaculate. Or they ejaculate, same thing. They're masturbating and they kind of measure their, you know, when they're about to go over and they stop-start. But when you're with a partner, it can be a lot hotter and it's actually real-life practice.
It's real-life practice. And you want to stay at that sweet spot of that 5 or 6 because then you're able to like move the pleasure.
Right.
And then you're not just having the pleasure be penis-focused.
Right.
You're moving it throughout the body.
Right.
And then you're opening up these other pathways,
and
right?
Then hopefully, exactly. And then hopefully he's going to start to feel like, oh, this is what my body feels like when I'm at a 5. My entire body, not just my penis.
Exactly.
Like this is what everything feels like. So I think that's a great method.
And
I like
when
it.
They transfer it over to sex, then they could both be like, oh my God, that's so hot.
oh my God, I'm getting to a seven. Right. And then you can say, let's switch positions. Right.
And then just moving things around or calming things down or just holding and taking a breath and not moving so fast.
Right. And it's okay for this to be an exercise where you take sex off the table and maybe you get, maybe he goes down on you, or you get some other kind of pleasure, yeah. You mutually masturbate. And, you know, maybe sometimes that could help too, just saying, you know what, we're not going to have sex for a week or two. Well, we'd play with this or for a long. Thank you. It's awesome. Okay, Brianna, good luck with this. You guys will figure this out. I know it. Okay. Hi, Emily. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now. I love hearing your advice to so many people. I've been married for nearly 18 years, and I can't describe in words how much I love my wife. And my love for her and sexual attraction to her seem to grow year by year. But like so many couples, we have mismatched sexual appetite. I'll admit this led me to emotional affairs, and that's why I'm writing you. I'm totally aware that it's a form of cheating. I have a lot of fantasies and new things I want to explore with my wife, but she tells me she's satisfied with our status quo and doesn't seem interested in sex that's not vanilla. How do I better communicate with her about what I want while respecting what's comfortable to her? I feel trapped in our sex life and unsatisfied that we don't try anything new. Thanks so much for all you do for everybody out there. Best, Scott, 43, Perth, Australia. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of Australian listeners.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Scott. Love hearing from you. Okay, so 18 years, and yeah, just they want different things. They want to spice things up. He wants to try something different, and she's like, this is what I've always done. This is, you know, what I've done. It can be really scary, Scott. I can understand for her to be like, why do you want this other thing? Or like, I've never gone outside this comfort zone, and she just doesn't even know what lives on the other side of it. And we're saying like, oh, it's so much pleasure. And you're probably thinking, Scott, how does she not want to do this? It's sex. But there's so many reasons why. It could be because of shame. She never learned what made her feel good. Judgment, you know, that she'll fail at it, that she won't be able to be sexy in these fantasies that you're talking about. And so there's a lot of reasons. It has nothing to do with the fact that she doesn't love you, and she probably really does want to please you. And she probably, even, I would say, would like to come on board with you here. But she doesn't even know where to start. She doesn't even know, like, because a lot of times it sounds like you're trying to talk to her, but a lot of times that language isn't even hitting your partner. So we can give you some tools on how to best talk about it. And I think that Dolly, we can do this in a second, but also I want to address the emotional affairs, is that that's a real thing. So like, that's like, you know, you're reaching out to, you know, maybe someone you work with, or, you know, that emotional connection that you're not getting with your wife, because maybe you've shut down around it because you feel like, well, she's not pleasing me. And so you're reaching out to someone else. And so I just want to thank you for, this is a great time to be emailing, because hopefully, you know, through this, we're going to help you here, and you can turn all that, the emotions and all your sexual energy, back to your wife, because that still is cheating. But I understand why you're doing it, and that's why we're going to help you. So we talk a lot about communicating with your partner and learning to say the right things. And this reminds me of some of the stuff we talk about in Somatica too, about like how to bring this up. So what would you say to Scott here, Dolly, about like, she's just saying no, because I always picture us doing some role playing like we would do in class, but it's kind of like, he's like, babe, I think it'd be really hot if you like put on this like, you know, schoolgirl uniform, you know, or whatever it is. I'd like to tie you up. And she's like, no, like for 18 years, we've been doing it this way.
Yeah. When you ask something just direct like that, she's in her head, he's in his head, and you're just thinking from up here. So honestly, I would tell you, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Scott, seduce her. Get her a bubble bath. Get her in her feminine energy. Like, invite like that soft sexiness, surprise her with that, have a special lotion, and just start to get her in her body so that she is just feeling amazing. She's just feeling all this love and attention. And if you do that a couple of times, do that without any expectation, just so that she can surrender with feeling like that you're really honoring her and just doing something as a gift to her. As she starts to build that trust with you, she might start talking about fantasies. She might say, oh my God, that was so, I always thought about doing this, or I really love that you did this with me. And then you can just start articulating, can I pretend that I'm your massage therapist? When next time I do this, can I do that? Can you pretend like you're a client? And maybe just even with your like fun interactions, you can start going into these other places. But you have to kind of introduce it in a place when she's in her body, right, feeling like sexy. Because if you just ask her, like, let's have a conversation about this.
Exactly.
I want to do this, or I want to go to a massage parlor, or I want to go to a swinger party, or be a voyeur.
Right.
She's like, what? You're not happy?
Right.
She's feeling like, I'm not good enough.
Exactly. I think this is great what you're saying. What I'm hearing people, and because I know this is all really the right, you know, take care of her without expectation too. That was a really good thing that you said, and that we've talked about, is like, there is a lot of scenarios in relationships where I'm going to say women, but it happens with men too. But typically we hear from women that, you know, they feel like, you know, their partner only makes gestures or kisses them or touches them when they want it to escalate to sex. And I think that for a lot of women, we're just like, can't we just cuddle or can't we just touch without the expectation? So I think that when you're starting this and you're touching her, and again, Scott, be prepared that in 18 years of marriage, if you've never given her a sensual massage, this might be like, what are you doing? What do you want from me? And so I think that it would be important to make it clear that I want to make you feel good. Like, I feel like, you know, and maybe she's never had a massage either. We have to assume that.
Yeah.
So you might have to start with a full massage. Like, it might not be a full blown. So you have to take it, start where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
It could be massaging her neck after work. It could be something small like that to build up to full blown massage and playing massage therapist. Mm-hmm. That's great advice.
Okay. The art of seduction is amazing.
Yeah, it is an art, and it is so important. We want to be seduced.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be seduced. We really do. Not every single time, but a lot of the times. Like, we lose that art, and we do it at the beginning, and that's a lot of the stuff that's missing for
And don't for a lot wait of us. For those moments when it's sexy time, like you're in the kitchen cooking dinner, and just, you know, walk behind her and like kiss the back of her neck and just say, "You look so sexy to me." And just give these moments.
The little nuggets. It's true. Moments,
so true. And just start making her body feel really alive. Because then as you start taking care of some of her needs, that she may not even know that she has these needs, she might start saying, "So what is it that you want to feel?" And then he can start exploring it.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you're going to move those boundaries of going to not have vanilla time together. But if you can create safety within your own interactions,
right,
there might be things that she might want to just experience, or even going to a seminar of this conversation of, like, you know, sex education, going to see Sexological Body Worker in Australia.
Yeah.
Going to have some sessions as a couple.
You can email Dolly, check it out at The Pleasure Muse. So she can help you find it. But I think this is all great advice. Really, it's about, and a lot of the stuff is going back to being in our body and meeting your partner where they're at, massaging. Just those little things matter. And if you're in a new relationship and you're just starting out right now, let me tell you this. This is the kind of thing that, pay attention to it now. Like, pay attention to what you're liking now and what you're enjoying, and remember that it's something you have to continue to do. Because what Scott's dealing with is probably that it's going to be something from the, you know, she's like, why are you doing this after 18 years? But it's okay, Scott, because for 18 years, you've gotten into where you are now, and you guys can get to a more intimate place again where you're both experiencing pleasure.
But the other thing, too, that's really important for the other listeners to get is, because the wife says, I'm good, I'm happy exactly how things are, whose needs are also are not getting met are Scott's, that he's not even being heard.
Right.
Like, even to be heard to like talk about this. So it's important that we say, always chatting to say, how can I hear you?
Right. It's good. Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dolly.
Yes.
You're fabulous. You're my muse. You're my sexual muse. The pleasure muse. Dolly, thank you so much.
You've been used.
Yeah. You're amazing. And congratulations on your and new business and your practice. And everyone should check her out at thepleasuremuse.com. Any other social media, you can find it all on your website.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you can find all this on my website as well.
Yes. And I am going to do a free introduction to the different ways in which you can work with me on August 20th.
Okay.
And there'll be information and links to that. So it's Let's Talk About Sex, and it's a co-ed event August 20th in the Los Angeles area.
I love it. I want you to go check it out. Thank you, Dolly. You're awesome. And thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, and our interns, Shannon and Miley, producer Lark and Michael. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks for checking out the show and following us on social media, and just for being the awesome listeners that you are. I love you. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.